This program is part of Full Service Radio, an internet radio station and podcast network with over 32 weekly shows broadcasting from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. All of our hosts are Washington, D.C. locals, covering stuff like music, arts, culture, identity, politics, and so much more. Visit fullserviceradio.org for all of our programming and enjoy the show. And Full Service Radio is also proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com. That is simplecast.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Brightest Young Things Radio. My name is Brandon Weatherby. You are listening to Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, because when you think of staying in Washington, D.C., you think of podcasting. I think I'm your loudest host, Jack. Am I your loudest host?
Do you know who just hosts before you, Allison?
Yes, I do. I have met Allison. Does Allison make you go?
She gets loud.
Does she go in the red?
Yeah, she does. She does the thing, though, where I was just telling her that she makes like really quiet jokes and then cackles very loudly.
Oh, I know, because I have to mix shows with her, too.
Oh, you know the deal.
So if you're listening to this live, you just heard Jack's pre-recorded bit about how there's 30-something shows, and it's DC locals, and one of them about podcasts. Even if you're listening to the podcast of Brightest Young Things Radio, you will not hear that. And I think it's funny that one of the selling points for the Line and the radio network is it's DC locals talking about politics. Our votes don't count, everybody. Not sure if you know that. Our voices don't matter regardless of where we live. And anyways, on the show this week is Jen Tisdale, BYT staff member. Hello, Jen.
Hello, Brandon. Thank you.
Jack, do you have the cricket song thing or booze?
Alcohol?
You know, my sound effects are positive right now. I have this.
No, I don't want that. I ain't no nerd.
Got that.
Nope.
No.
Alcohol's positive.
No. I want the crickets.
Oh, a boo.
Yeah, I want a boo.
I heard you say booze, and I was like, yes, where's the booze?
you got any clinking bottle sound
effects? It's just the sound of me falling down some stairs.
Anyways, you can listen to this show live because that's how the internet works, or you could listen to it on fullserviceradio.org, or my preferred method, download us in the iTunes store. We're at BYT Radio, and give us 5 stars and say nice things. If you are not going to give us 5 stars, don't do that. Why would you review something that you don't love and want to share? And if you don't want to share it, that's perfectly fine. Don't share it. You're not sharing it right now unless you're currently writing the review. But I don't understand the person that writes the 3-star Yelp review. You know what I mean?
I don't actually use Yelp or any...
Really?
I'm not a prepared person. So I don't use any consumer guides. Or that's why everything I have breaks all the time or never works. So whenever I go to a place where it would be good to read a review, I just fly blind.
Okay.
So at 37, that shouldn't be the way I live, but it's always been the way I live. So.
All right, so we're giving our ages out. I'm 35, you're 37, and we both work for a site called Brightest Young Things.
Dull Old Stuff.
Medium.
That's the rebrand for 2018.
That's dull old stuff's pretty good, actually.
Thanks.
Well, anyways, it is 2018. We're going to talk about 2018, and we're going to talk about what's on the website this week. One of the things that I'm relatively proud of is something that I noticed on the bus home 2 days ago. It is currently Thursday, January 4th, 2018. Jen and I actually rang in the New Year's together.
Were you there at the actual midnight party?
Not at the midnight party, but the first part. That counts.
Booze. Is that the sound?
Yeah, okay. Anyways, I noticed a few things. Number one, everyone at the party at one point wanted to listen to the Spice Girls, be it Spice Up Your Life or Gimme What You Want, What You Really Want, etc. We all agreed it's a great song.
When Two Become One was probably mine.
You like When Two Become One? That's a horrible song.
I'm a romantic.
That's a Human Centipede song.
That's the song about codependency.
Okay, fair enough. And why do I talk faster than you on this thing? And in real life, we switch.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm also accidentally using like a radio voice, like when my
mom. I loathe.
I can't.
You're totally doing it. You have a great voice.
Thank you, Brandon. Is this my voice?
Yeah, that's your voice.
Oh, here I am. Okay, let's do the whole thing over.
But the radio voice is good.
So sorry, is this my?
I loathe that.
That's not it. I
do not enjoy affected voices.
My mom does that when she. I can tell. I call her phone voice, and I'm like, yeah. Why is this happening? Why is she getting sexy with like a telemarketer?
People like soothing voices, and I go the exact opposite route.
This is my ASMR voice.
Anyways, one of the things I noticed was it's 2018. We're going to see a lot of pieces about how 1968 was an incredibly revolutionary year. Yes,
okay,
Jen.
Thank you. I'm raising my hand. So we're talking about this piece you wrote. Can I ask a question yet?
Not yet. I'm getting to it.
Okay.
I am laying the groundwork.
I'm a good guest.
So it is 4 days in, and I decided to Google 2018, 1968. And there was already a big CNN, 9 reasons why 1968 was the most important year and how it relates to 2018. Every news organization is going to do that. And 1968 was an incredibly remarkable year. But we are now living in 1968. We are living in 1998. 1968, you're going to see these op-eds, not because that they're right or wrong, but because boomers control editorial boards. And they're all horrible people. They're never going to die because good health care.
If we had to pick a year when they were all finally dead, I don't know the baby boomer birth years. Mm-hmm. I think my mom is one. I don't know. So
your mom is a boomer.
Okay. So, the boomers are like the wartime
babies.
World
War
II. Right. You came home from war. You were super excited.
45 to 65.
Right. So I'd say they're going to be dead pretty soon.
No.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
Because they're getting cryogenically
frozen.
Modern
medicine is too good.
All their little heads are waiting to be reattached
exactly.
to younger bodies. Damn it!
What are we, 5 minutes in and get into a genocide conversation? Anyways, so 1968 is pointless. We do not relate to 1968 in any way. And we can only connect things by every 10 years. This is not 1978. 1978 is most famous for the year Ted Bundy was caught. Jen knows this. We all know this.
I know, one of the more regrettable things that ever happened. Let that man live out his dreams.
1988 was the year Spuds McKenzie helped spike Bud Light sales. He's a great dog. I wish he was coming back. He is not. We are living in 1998. It is not 2008, the year of hope. Ipso facto, we are living in 1998. Here's how I know that. I wrote this piece, and I noticed a few things that were happening. 3 major news stories. Keep in mind, I wrote this on January 3rd, and the news has drastically changed. Number one, why are you laughing already? I haven't done anything.
Just because I like the piece.
Number one was, I don't even remember what number one was. It was the Trump thing, but what was the Trump thing?
It was, wow, I just had it open. I remember the last two.
I remember the last two. Let's go backwards. Let's go okay. with some positive stuff. Sure. You usually lead with positive, mm-hmm. so we're going to do that.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Number one, Coachella. Coachella announced their lineup. That's a fun thing that's not political in any way. And for the first time in a while, there are no nostalgia acts. Mm-hmm. It's The Weeknd. He's very current and hip. Eminem, he released his best work like 15 years ago. That being said, he still sells a lot of records.
Right.
So that's impressive. And Beyonce,
right.
who is the most relevant musician of the last 10 years.
Yes.
Not most important, that's still counting. Anyways, Beyonce is headlining. Destiny's Child's first record came out, 1998.
God, that was such a good year.
All right. What's another relatively positive story as of January 3rd? California is now selling weed for recreational use legally.
So no more cards.
You don't need the card anymore. In California only.
Wow.
That's a great thing that's going to make people not have to hide things that aren't really vices anyways. That's a good thing. It's a net positive. That being said, since I wrote that and the recording of this, Jeff Sessions is about to go announce that. He's repealing Obama-era stuff. So anyways, news travels fast. That relates to Marilyn Manson's best song, from his best album, The Dope Show.
Of which we are all stars.
Exactly. There's a line in there about how drugs are grown in California.
Mm-hmm.
And he stole the entire song from Iggy Pop's Nightclubbing, which is a great song. The entire video is based on David Bowie's The Man Who Fell to Earth. And he was dating Rose McGowan at the time.
Oh, man.
Who is one of 2018's most important writers and performers.
Hashtag Me Too folks.
Her book Brave comes out at the end of the month. You could find our little write-up about that on our Your Best January feature. This is me cross-promoting our own features.
That's fine.
And then finally, as of my writing of this, January 3rd, keep in mind it's January 4th, things have changed. Donald Trump told the leader of North Korea, hey, I got a bigger dick than you, in nuclear terms. And that reminded me that the biggest, highest grossing film of 1998 was Armageddon.
Can't hardly wait. Oh.
Armageddon, and that video is essentially reenacted in Pearl Jam's Do the Evolution, and 2 minutes into that video, there's a guy pulling puppet strings, and that's not a hacky analogy, but that brings us back to, you're the puppet, no, you're the puppet, everything is 1998. I know we just did like a 10-minute monologue that didn't need to be that long.
That's fine.
That's what we do at work.
This is, I mean, yeah, I just nod when Brandon has...
Well, you edited the piece, and I thank you for that.
Thanks, I removed one thing.
There you go.
Superfluous parentheses. Other than that, I just got excited because that's the year I graduated from high school. But my question...
Yes, ma'am.
Which I don't remember... I don't remember much of pop culture of that year. What was I doing? My question was this, and I haven't read any of these pieces of which you mm-hmm. speak, these 68 2018 pieces. Mm-hmm. So my question is the theory that in similar to Vietnam War, so we were rolling into the Vietnam War mm-hmm. or like, yeah, right. Cause 68, 69, 72, everything was pretty much done.
You could pretty much say so 60 to so the
like,
end of match.
So like Nixon and then Trump and then the Vietnam War and then whatever's about to happen.
Exactly.
And that is why the 68
and the Olympics.
And the Olympics.
And that was the year of the Black Power Fist at the Olympics.
Yes. And so that, and now we're the kneeling.
Now we're kneeling and there's the Olympics. Kneeling. So there's a lot of that.
I'm all caught up.
Yeah, but it's not good necessarily. But the 1998 one is a complete reflection because essentially what we're doing is we're seeing the art from 1998 reflected into the reality of 2018. Not the actual news, not the global events of 1998. That's silly.
Mm-hmm. So we're also, I would say, to go back to 1968, this whole new like wave of protesting and like, what are the 2018 hippies going to be like? I mean, I'm sure they'll be just as annoying as all the other hippies.
So
but like,
you and I are on the same page as that. We do not enjoy hippies.
No, I don't enjoy anyone who wants to relax or not. Yeah.
Yeah. What's wrong with us? I think we're on the wrong side of history here.
In terms with any counterculture, there's someone who's maybe doing it right. And then there's someone who's sort of bastardizes it and becomes Charles Manson in the family. Oops, back to murderers. Sorry.
We'll get to that later in our Best Week in Bet segment as well.
Yes, we will. So that is an early segue. Remember that segue. So yeah, I think that there's obviously good and bad things. So there's people who really care and want to make some sort of change. And there's someone who's just like, I don't want to have a job.
Can't you say that about literally any group?
Yes. Also,
so why are we both against?
I don't know, but every time I open my mouth, I sound more and more like a conservative, and I'm a little concerned.
You're dressing like one too, today. You look fantastic.
For the listener
at home, Jen is wearing Han Solo boots.
Mm-hmm.
Are you? Is that offensive? Because they're kind of doing the Han Solo thing.
I don't think that's offensive. What should who's are we? What did he do? Who did he assault? No, I'm kidding.
That's one of Jen's favorite pieces from 2017. We're going to talk about that. What are some of our favorite pieces that we published in 2017, specifically Jen? One of the things that you were very proud of was none of these men thus far have been accused of sexual assault.
We had 10 GIFs because that's all you need in life is just a good GIF. Sorry, that's a t-shirt. That's trademarked. All you need in life is a good GIF. Choosy moms, choose GIF. Anyway, so and we came up, the office collectively came up with 10 men, one of which at some point Brandon had to remove because I had forgotten about an ill-fated incest.
Yeah, we're not going to mention him.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud of the fact that all of the men that we were worried might, like, we would be really horrified if they were accused of sexual assault, or we found out they were, are still good.
Is there anyone?
A lot of them are Canadian, so I don't know.
Is there anyone that, okay, out of the 10 that we listed, who would be the biggest disappointment?
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox, that's a good
one.
For
me personally, I don't think the world feels that way. As you know, Back to the Future is my favorite movie, but there's a lot of factors. It's not just like, I'd really be sad because I like this person's artwork. But there's also like, they have a general good, nice guy vibe to them. Like Tom Hanks was one that was very obvious because you just think of him and you're like, he seems like a nice guy.
I think mine's pretty obvious. It's The Rock.
The Rock.
The Rock.
Yeah, that was a good one. I chose both Key and Peele collectively because they just especially with, you know, Get Out being this politically charged, you know, you're just like, wow, it would be really horrible if this person turned out to just be a big old rapist. But thankfully, I wish we had taken bets or it was like a Deadpool kind of thing. If we had like the list of their names up, I wish we had done that at the office.
Speaking of Deadpool.
Are we not taking sexual assault seriously enough right now?
Did you just completely stepped over my Deadpool joke?
I'm so sorry.
Or aside.
Was it...
No, I just said speaking of Deadpool.
Is it TJ Miller?
Yeah, obviously.
I made that joke on Twitter.
Speaking of Benson Ball.
Yes.
It's our annual comedy festival that we do. And BYT got quite lucky in 2017 because we had, at the time, one of the Democratic Party's favorite sons. He was on track to possibly run for the White House. We had Al Franken and Ira Glass in a conversation at the Lincoln Theater. Yep. It was fascinating.
We really patted ourselves on the back for that.
Did.
As well we should
about
have at the
2 weeks later.
Yep. It's the curse of the Benson ball.
So throughout 2018, British Young Things will be giving away roughly 70 signed copies of Al Franken's book.
Yes.
This is a complete truth.
Yep.
I'm probably going to keep 69 of those copies to give out to friends and family.
Well, I couldn't give these away, is the joke. I'm probably still going to read that book.
What else are you...
With fresh Franken eyes.
See, I read the book in...
Before. I'm going to read it after.
Clearly.
I'm only into artwork. I'm only going to watch movies now after I find out.
So you're a big Woody Allen.
Love Woody Allen. Love his
old
stuff.
Old SNL.
Love Spacey.
And current SNL, probably.
Yeah, only Spacey. Love Spacey. I'm a space freak. Where my space head's at. Right? Cool.
You know what would really bum me out is John Candy. I know he's dead, but I'm thinking Spaceballs.
Oh, we should have included a retro, the retrospective or retro, like, dead to me pool, dead, like some sort of, oh, already dead pool.
Already dead.
Already dead pool.
In the clear.
Do you know what I'm going to really wildly curious about is how the Oscars are going to treat this? Because there's no way they can ignore it.
Yeah.
They can't, because obviously, especially Harvey Weinstein, sorry, I don't care anymore, it doesn't matter.
That's fascinating. So, I didn't think about that because...
So this year I'm going to be tuning in just for that.
So, yeah, good point. Because I think the last few years, definitely last year, when they would do the nominees, mm-hmm. when they would announce them on the actual award show, they would do a little package of previous winners.
Yeah.
Which includes a Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
And thanks to Harvey.
And every movie, like, I have to look again, but like nowadays when I see wine, like, first of all, somebody once said, I don't remember who it was because at this point, is that when you think of these movies, sometimes, yes, it makes me angry, this concept of separating the art from the artist, because I think it's different when you're a woman. It's really easy for men to be like, I can separate that. And I'm like, well, sure you can. But there are also...
Hold on.
Oh, no.
What?
Are we getting too serious? Let's
no, not at all.
I'm lighten it up.
I'm confused by that sentiment.
Sorry, you're right. I'm doing that. My brain is doing that ADD sort of thing. So I find that it's probably easier for men to separate the art from the artist in the sense that I know a lot of men who are like, I can still watch a Woody Allen movie. And I'm like, I can't.
I don't think that's a gender thing.
Gross. I think it is because they will never be in this position of... the receiving end of that, so the feeling is different, right? So I think
let
a lot
me
of,
mansplain to you why you're wrong. No,
please do. Statistically,
I think you're bringing up a very interesting point that I don't think is brought up ever. I've never heard that argument, or at least I've never read that argument.
Maybe
that
I'm,
it's easier for
I'm
me.
Also,
no, it's not a bad argument.
I'm also. I really want to be careful that I don't become too like. Militant is the word. I've been dipping my toes a little into the like angry waters a little too much, and I'm trying to
nothing wrong with that.
Be appropriately angry and try to make sure I'm not.
Here's my counter to that
making
the statement you just made.
Yes,
you're a big Michael Jackson fan.
Oh, I know, and I separated the shit
exactly.
out of that art. I just
so
I folded that laundry and I went oh in that drawer.
Yeah, you literally wore a Thriller shirt.
I did. It was,
so
well, you know what? Some would say that he was a bit of a Thriller. So
no one's going to disagree with that. I watched the Scream video the other night.
It's amazing.
It's
still
so good.
Everything is so good. So, but here's where
I would go everything.
Here's where I'm going with that. Someone once explained to me, but so many people are involved in these things that you could still, if you want to, appreciate it for the hard work that every other person put into that film or put into that album. So you don't have to be like. Disregarding everyone's hard work, right? If that's what's going to help you sleep at night, if that's the thing, if that's the hill you want to die on.
I don't think that's how you rationalize Michael Jackson.
No, I just love him so much.
Okay, so...
there are some things. I don't know. That's like a childhood... Okay, did I ever tell you... So you know what my friend... I have a friend who has a brain tumor and he's had this tumor.
Yes.
Did I ever tell you that the day he told me he had his brain tumor was the day that Michael Jackson died? And I said to him, you couldn't do this tomorrow. Could you wait a day? I was so mad at him for telling me on that same day.
Wait, didn't Michael Jackson die in
2009.
Isn't your friend still alive?
He's still alive.
I don't think he's got a tumor.
Listen,
I think Carlos is a liar.
Listen, you don't think I've said this to his face as he's taking 40 pills a day?
A 9-mile year walk to death? What's going on?
He's got 911 lives, this one.
I think he's a liar.
He's got 69 lives. He's got 420 lives. Anyway, so my point is that if you want something to rationalize your love of an artist other than you're a big fat piece of, what can we say? Can I say the...
You could say shit.
Shit. then you can think about every other person who was involved in making this thing that you love, and you can be like, I love it for the key grip.
Okay, but the
key John, the key grip.
But the key grip doesn't get residuals.
I don't so know. How does Hollywood work? I'm sorry. I only know about Assault and Academy Awards, and those are the two ends of that spectrum.
I can't agree with
are
you.
They, are there Assault Awards?
Have you ever quit? Ooh, I mean.
We can't. Uh-oh. It is award season after all. Isn't that, and Trump's got his own awards coming up.
Monday.
Yeah.
Monday at 5 p.m. So is there any artist that you've disavowed and stuck to?
Other than Michael Jackson?
No. Michael Jackson you stuck with.
Oh, I thought you said disavowed and stuck to.
Yeah.
Like, oh, stuck to the...
Exactly.
The
that was phrased poorly. I apologize.
That's okay. Well, there's no one... So, like, for example...
So you'll still watch a Woody Allen movie? You'll still watch...
I was actually never really a huge Woody Allen fan. There's, like, that rabid fan base. I always thought I was a little grossed out and bored by his films even before I found out.
Okay. So he doesn't matter.
So, no. I mean, this
Louis?
Is...
You saw Louis not that long ago.
I've known about that, though, as someone who's done stand-up comedy. And known, so I've never been a fan. Remember when I saw him at the Lincoln, I only went to count how many masturbation jokes he
had. And how many were there?
23.
Okay, thank you.
Art imitates life, imitates art, imitates life.
So, okay, who else is there?
I guess we just have to talk about this
Spacey.
Year, right? Spacey.
We can talk about any year.
I think it's, okay, Franken, but I didn't stick to him. But also, how do I stick to him? It's not like I can vote for him again, and I'm am I gonna read that book now?
Well, here's the thing about
I didn't buy it, so
here's
it's
the
not
difference
like
between
I,
reading the book I think and buying the SNL box set. Number one, you can get the book. I got the book for the DC Public Library.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm not financially contributing
exactly.
to it because I got that for free.
Number two, it has nothing to do with that stuff, and it is still an illuminating book that I think is still worth reading.
True, you're right. It's not just like this is my life.
No, it's not like, look at me, I'm a hero. It's just like, these are weird things to know about the
I think
Senate.
That one made me the most sad.
Al Franken?
Yeah. And a lot of people talk about Louis. And Louis also touted himself as like a very liberal person. So that one somehow didn't make me sad. I never cared. But the Franken one is just sad on many levels because of the work that he could have done and was doing. And I certainly didn't defend him like some liberals did. There was like...
Do you feel like you have a responsibility to chime in about any or all of this stuff?
I always do, and it really upsets me that I have no self-control.
So in an ideal world, you would not be chiming in?
When you say chime in, are we just like a Facebook comment?
Yes, that counts. Anything on social media?
I think in an ideal world, I would just pick my battles better because I am a naturally emotional human being, and I have poor... impulse control. So I think I just respect you because I think you do the internet better than I do. You rarely post. In fact, I'm convinced you've hidden me, and I know that you have. Brandon, this is how I find out. Am I hidden from you on Facebook?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Cool. That's why I thought you've unfollowed me. But not in life. We're still pals.
No, we're still friends on all these things.
Because I don't post as much as some people, but I know I post too much, and I know I might comment a little too much. So maybe for me, a 2018 resolution is to curb my social media enthusiasm a little bit.
Here's something that I posted in 2017 on British Link Things.
Your one Facebook post.
Relatively proud of. It's how Facebook is a stupid algorithm that's meant to be screwed with. 2012,
I remember that was
2011,
good.
Something like that. I got bored and I wanted to friend and like every single thing in person I saw. At the time, I didn't play video games. Still don't really play video games.
Well, we just played them New Year's Eve and I lost.
Exactly. Okay. Like, I liked every single video game suggested to me. I liked every single TV show suggested to me. Films, same thing. Movies, etc. I did the same thing with suggested friends, right? So all of a sudden it went from like a few hundred people that I actually know to like thousands of people I've never met. I don't
so
care
gross.
About. And I just liked everything for one day. Just to see. So I went from liking zero video games to like 500 video games, etc. My algorithm is still screwed up because of that.
Did you then go on to unlike and unfriend?
No.
Well,
no.
Yeah, so it's forever.
So
I wonder if you undid
you just,
that.
Of course. So I just decided to screw with Facebook because it's a stupid anything.
I
only use Facebook purely promotional. I'll be like, hey, you should listen to BYT Radio. Hey, you should read this article. That's about it.
Right.
And then I use it for story purposes for my job at BYT.
Do you think posting these opinions online the way, I'll just use myself as an example, because
sure.
I know myself, takes away from your opinion because you're just sort of shouting into the, as the phrase is, echo chamber. So it's like, what's the point of like sharing your opinions with your friends who share your opinions? Like, is there a point?
Well, your posts are shown to people that are more likely to interact with them.
Yeah, and which is another dumb thing because the more, like, it's always the same. If you're me, upwards of 60 plus people, sorry, get a lot of likes because they've already liked them before.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's really dumb.
That's how it is. I mean, it relates back to British Young Things. I mean, when the company started, before we were there, and this is like over a decade ago, comments were a big thing. Who comments now on random articles? No one. People comment on the Facebook link of the article.
Well, of course, now the general vibe is do not read the comments. Whereas before, never. It was like exciting. Ooh, what'd you say?
When I was at Huffington Post, we were encouraged to read the comments and interact with listeners.
Really?
Or sorry, with readers.
Not obvious. I mean, with legitimate, not like troll style comments.
How would you ever know? It's impossible to know who's real.
Sometimes I can't even tell who's a bot. Yeah, like, I'm like, ooh, I'm an idiot. I fell for a bot.
Therefore,
I've been arguing with a Russian bot.
I don't think I've gotten into a real debate with. I definitely haven't debated or talked to a stranger on Facebook in maybe ever.
Yeah, well, I will say, in terms of social media, there are a lot of people that I interact with whom I've never met and who I really, really like and consider a friend. And if it weren't for social media, I would never know these people. So that's nice and good and great.
Well, would you have known Damien Nichols? Let's talk about him for a second. Okay. You interviewed Damien Nichols.
Yes.
Damien Nichols is famous for?
He was one of the West Memphis Three. And if you don't know who that is, should I just Google that? They were in the 90s, our favorite decade. They were accused of...
90s are not my favorite decade. I think nostalgia is a poison. Sorry. I apologize.
I can't have that.
My favorite decade is the current decade.
You know
my favorite
what?
Year is the next year.
On Thursday, on this the high holiday of TBT, I do not care for that opinion, Brandon. So Damien and two other boys at the time, they were like 15 or something. They were accused of murdering these children in the South in West Memphis. Is it Tennessee?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm very bad. And it was all like a part of the Satanic Panic movement because these boys wore black and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so... I saw that he was DJ. I saw someone named Damien Nichols was performing some sort of like at a big festival as a DJ. And I was like, this can't be. If someone's just DJ Damien Nichols, that would be amazing. But it was actually him. So I was like, what is he doing? Because what does one do when they were in prison for murdering children for 20 years and then they get out with the help of a serial abuser, Johnny Depp? What does one do? You become a practitioner of magic with a K. Not pulling rabbits out of a hat, but like real magic, if you believe in that, which I do. So, here it is, 2018, I'm a witch. And anyway, so I reached out to him to interview him just about that. And he actually said his wife, who does his like, kind of, I guess she's his publicist or something. She said to me, he doesn't ever respond to these things and he never does interviews, but because... he liked what you said and he liked what you wanted to talk about. And of course we got a couple of things in about, remember when you were in prison? But like, anyway, so did I do that in 2017?
It doesn't matter. The point is this.
You can talk to a child murderer if you want to. The internet's a beautiful thing.
You use the internet, you use social media in a way that if it was 1998, you would have never known about that DJ gig. Because unless that DJ gig was local and you happen to see it in like an ad for the Alt Weekly, you're not going to know about that.
You're right. I don't remember. I'm trying to remember. I have such a terrible memory. I wish I could phone a friend. Like I know I
that
used
is a 98 reference.
I know. It's Loveline. So I know I used to go to shows. Like I went to the 930 Club when I was like a teenager. But now I'm like, how did I know who was going to be there? I don't. There's no way that in Crofton, Maryland, where I'm from, that I had. I'm assuming was the. City paper, how long has that been? That's been around for a long time.
It has been around for a long time. It wouldn't have surprised me if the city paper had a much larger reach into Crofton, Maryland.
Maybe.
And the suburbs. I was from Chicago, and I don't surprise it took 30 minutes to get to that far. In Chicago, the Chicago Reader had a supplemental, smaller paper that was a truncated version of their four-section Alt Weekly just for the suburbs.
That
so it would go a lot further. I wouldn't be surprised if the Washington City paper had one in the 90s.
Hello, where's my brain? radio. Radio is how you knew things. So obviously there would probably be commercials on 99.1 WHFS. I'm really dating myself now. And they would probably zip through the, like, who's coming.
And I highly doubt that the radio station was giving away Damien Echols' contact information when they read his name on a flyer.
No, they were not. But when I interned there, my going away gift was to interview Stephen Dorff when he was in Blade.
I think that's a great way to throw to our first break. We will be back with Best Week in Bets every single Thursday. Brady Schunk produces Best Week in Bets for Washington, D.C., New York City, D.C., and Chicago. And here's our close personal friend, Marilyn Manson. That is Spooky Man and Lil Uzi Vert, actual friend. Jack, do you know about this? How Lil Uzi Vert and Marilyn Manson are friends?
Frenemies, kind of.
No, what, since when are they frenemies? I thought they were just friends. What do I not know?
Uzi Vert was, I forget who was interviewing him, but he was kind of like, yeah, Marilyn Manson, he's kind of annoying.
Yeah, what'd you expect?
So I don't
he's
know.
A pudgy old man who wants relevance.
Right.
Oh, that's what happens to all of us.
Doesn't sound like friendship, though.
That sounds exactly like friendship to me.
Well...
I think everyone that I know is annoying, so that's friendship.
There you go.
I saw Marilyn Manson in 2017 at the Fillmore Silver Spring, and it was a great show. And by a great show, I mean it was a show I'm glad I attended. In no way was it good. It wasn't bad, though. It was very professional. It was like 6.66 out of 10. Like, there was nothing exciting about it. Every single song sounded the same, but it was still enjoyable. Here's the thing. What we just played was from 1998's Mechanical Animals. That is their best. That is Marilyn Manson's best record. And I would say there, it's essentially just Marilyn Manson and Twiggy. It's not a controversial statement. Everyone knows that. That's their third, or arguably fourth. It depends on if you want to do Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids, whatever. Florida's a stupid place. Don't ever go there. Chicago's the best. That's an insult to a friend, Chris Kelly. Anyways, listen to his show on Full Service Radio. Okay, so that music was so good because it wasn't just one note. It wasn't just Beautiful People, which is a great riff, and that's all. It wasn't... It was like boop, 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 boop. It was equal parts. It was all the Berlin Trilogy from Bowie with a little bit of the Philly Soul from Bowie and just the Idiots by Iggy Pop, which was produced by David Bowie. That's it. I don't like the drugs, but the drugs likes me is fame, is David Bowie's fame. They even have backup singers that sound like backup singers in David Bowie's fame, which featured Luther Vandross. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Turn my mic up when I scream, not down. Yeah. Anyways. So I saw Marilyn Manson at the Fillmore, and it was fine, and he's not a dummy, because he had, like, Alice Glass from Crystal Castle's opening. By the way,
oh,
there's another 2017
story. Little hashtag
story.
Me Too on that one. Everything doesn't come back to 1968. Everything comes back to Me Too. Sorry.
That's true. But that's not a yearly thing. I just want everyone to acknowledge that's the history of the world thing. So Marilyn Manson wasn't bad.
Was this before or after he got injured?
We're getting there.
I was just about to say,
this was
when
the
that
opening
giant gun
go,
fell.
Come on! You're stepping on it again. Yeah, this is the opening night of the tour. It was great because BYT had a photo pass, so I got to be in the photo pit for Marilyn Manson. But every once in a while, this is the second time photo passes have come out on the show. It was only one song. Why was it only one song? Because after the first song, a second giant curtain drops. And then throughout the show, the stage is revealed. Okay? Around song 7, that's when the giant cross of guns, two handguns. Lil Uzi Vert, right?
Okay. That was great.
So that's when you see the guns, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's a gun cross. That's a prop.
Yeah.
You got some props. Before, it was just a big, big puffy chair because Marilyn Manson's in a mumblecore for some reason. So it was the first night of tour. He was still literally figuring out the stage setup. The way they have the stage configured was beautiful and brilliant, and I love it. He's kind of has it set up like a line. So like roughly 10 feet back is the drummer, then the bassist, then guitarist, then the other guitarist, and then like a keyboardist to the side, and Manson's in the middle. It's a, pretty much a line. Manson is usually the only one that's going closer to the crowd. It's unlike a normal band setup, which I thought was great. So, opening night, he's just figuring it out. He was clearly bored because all the songs sounded the same. The songs on the new record are good, especially the one in the video that features Johnny Depp.
Oh, man.
Okay, anyways.
But he's still around. He's doing fine.
Johnny Depp's great.
That was enough critique to make fair use for the break song.
Damn right. Let's go.
Thank you.
Oh, you know what I just thought of when you were like...
I'm not done.
Oh, sorry.
He plays the dope show, but it doesn't sound like the song we just heard. It just sounds like Beautiful People. Como White sounds like Beautiful People. Everything sounds like Beautiful People. It's all one note. It's boring. It's really boring. There's no sense of urgency, but it's perfectly fine. It's like going to see a Vegas performer that doesn't really care anymore, but at the same time, it's like, I'm going to hear that riff. I'm in. You know what I mean? So when 4 nights later, when he's in New York, I am in no way surprised when the pudgy man that's almost 50 gets bored and decides to pull on his own props, you know, as one does when they're a teen, and a giant gun hurts him in a very sad but brilliant reach for relevancy. 2 days later, or 5 days later, or 2 weeks later, whatever, on TMZ, there's new footage of the Marilyn Manson concert, because now, because he's got a broken leg and he needs that money, he's coming out in a wheelchair with his leg propped up. And now, because the gun fell on him, people are covering the microphone he has, which is a giant rifle with a scope.
Oh my
with
God.
The microphone, he's singing at the microphone. This is not new. Earlier in the tour, he's got a giant microphone with a knife on it. He's also got a giant microphone with some, what are the Iron Fist called? The knuckle dusters, what are they called?
What do you...
Knuckle, Jack, help me out here. Not knuckle duster, but...
When you...
You know what I'm talking about?
When you put brass knuckles?
Brass knuckles. There thank you. He's got a brass knuckle microphone and a handgun microphone, and nobody cared. So our pudgy little fat man decided to pull down some guns on him, and now he's relevant. Kudos to Marilyn Manson in 2018.
Oh, my God, Brandon.
That's a good way to segue into Best Week in Best.
That's great.
Today is Thursday, January 4th. Jen, what is your pick? You're going to give one a day, and I'm going to give two a day.
I'm looking at this Indiana Jones the Eternal Explorer talk at the Ripley Center. That's exciting. Oh, I should have put Harrison Ford on. Do we know, to our knowledge, Harrison Ford? Everyone was like, he married Calista Flockhart. That was weird, but he crashed a plane. That was weird. He's wearing an earring. That was weird, but to our knowledge, he's never done anything gross.
Correct. To our knowledge, that being said, I'm not a fan. I don't like anybody that leaves their wife and then goes and marries somebody like 30 years
younger. But
they're
still together. So like,
as they should be.
Well, I you could look at that and go, that was meant to be.
No, you can't.
I will look at it like that.
That's not how helicopters were just meant to be. I'm busy. Okay, my pick is pretty obvious. It's the BYT Murder Club at Sun Cinema. Tonight is 1972 Sleuth. If you would like more information on the BYT Murder Club, which is a thing, you interviewed Damien Eccles and he was wrongly in prison for murder.
Yes, he was.
By the way, side note, I always thought West Memphis 3 was a rockabilly group.
It could be.
The same way I always thought The Room was a horror movie.
So... It could be.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, anyways, tonight is BYT's Murder Club at Sun Cinema, 1972 Sleuth. If you would like more information on that, go to the Full Service Radio podcast group. I'm calling it a podcast group because that sounds better than radio, because I'm saying radio like every other word, Jack.
Yeah,
is that
sure.
Right, great.
It's
Sun
1998,
Cinema,
so radio's fine.
Sun Cinema has a show hosted by Jason Cawley. This week's episode is all about Rashomon, which has nothing to do with BYT. And Svetlana was the guest, and they talk about BYT Murder Club. So that's my number one pick. My number two pick is Cinema Hearts at Comet Ping Pong.
Oh, we get to do two. We're doing two picks
a
day?
I'm doing two picks a day.
Oh, I'm doing one.
We're doing three picks a day.
Wow.
If you would like to do two, I'll do one. That's fine.
No, I'm great.
All right.
Is it Friday for me?
It is not Friday yet. I just want to throw some love to Caroline Weinroth, who is the lead singer and songwriter and guitarist of Cinema Hearts. She's a wonderful woman, and I got to interview her in 2017 for British Things on a piece called Miss World, which ties us back to 1998 because Hole released Celebrity Skin, their follow-up to Live Through This, which featured Miss World. Anyways, the reason I'm mentioning all that is because Caroline is an actual beauty queen.
Oh, so, and who did she murder?
Moving on to Friday, January 5th in Washington, D.C. Jen, what is your pick for Best Weekend Bets?
Well, Brandon, I will be at the Wonderland Ballroom.
Yeah, you will.
For the You, Me, Them, Everybody 10-year anniversary.
It's not the 10-year anniversary show.
Well, it's the
It's the first of many. Yeah.
It's the DC version, DC edition of the 10-year anniversary.
The first of 20 shows.
To say I'm going to go to your other show and be supportive, and
you
just want to correct me.
That's right. Dana Meyer is a guest. You might know Dana if you follow us on British Young Things, because she has drawn most every Benson Wall performer for the past 2 years. She's a wonderful sketch artist, and she's definitely someone worth following on Instagram.
Was she there for the TJ Miller year?
Yes, she was. Right. Anyways, moving on. I'm going to recommend techno legend Kevin Saunderson at Flash. I was going to recommend my own show. So, Jen, if you have one more pick for Friday, I would really appreciate it.
I'm getting a Jeffrey Dahmer tattoo.
Okay, where?
On my body or what shop?
Both.
It's called Tattoo Paradise.
Where is that?
It's in Adams Morgan.
It's the one on 18th?
You know what? I could probably just go from here.
Yeah, okay. Because there's two in Adams Morgan.
I think it's the one on 18th.
Okay.
It's a very simple tattoo, so this is not one of those things where it's like, why didn't you do research about an artist? Because there's nothing that's crazy. It's not a portrait of Jeffrey Dahmer, but rather a drawing that he did. So he was not an artist.
If you want to see that tattoo, become friends with Jen and try to convince her to show you her tattoo.
Yeah, or just look at my Instagram feed because I posted it and I was like, I'm doing this.
Saturday, Jen, what is your pick? Saturday, January 6th.
Oh, I am sorry. I got too excited about that crazy. Oh, here we go. Hot in here because you don't like nostalgia, but I live in nostalgia. So that's the 2000s, which is not my favorite, but fine. Dance party. It's Will Eastman.
Would you prefer
930 Club.
A 90s or aughts dance party?
Okay, you know I hate it when you say aughts.
That's how it is.
Says who? Who has said this? Who has established this? Can we just say 2000s?
Fine, 2000s.
Thank you. I think that in terms of dance music.
Dance music.
90s.
Okay, 80s or 90s?
80s for dance music.
80s or 70s?
70s for drugs.
Okay. Okay. It's good. My pick is Chris Rock at Dar Constitution Hall.
Oh, he's in town?
Yeah. He's been in town a lot. He had a residency at MGM for a while.
I just read some story about how he was actually like booed off stage working on some new material at the Cellar in New York. So even your heroes have a bad night, you guys.
Speaking of Cellars, I'm also going to run Beer Baron's first annual Cask Fest.
What fest?
Cask.
It's beer.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. I'm trying to mix it up here.
Yeah.
All right. Sunday, January 7th. I'm going to recommend the first one here. It's called Burning Boat, Music for 100 Guitars at 930 Club. Now, this is an annual event. Bob Boylan is one of the people that heads it up. There's literally 100 guitarists on stage. It's absurd, and all of the proceeds go to Bread for the City. So it's a worthwhile cause, and if you've ever been like, hey, I don't know if I could ever play a 930 Club, you can. You just need a guitar and then go to this thing.
Mm.
What's your pick?
I'm going to say, this is a little problematic. God, I hate that word. The Rope. Hitchcock is screaming at Sons, but Hitchcock was also kind of a piece of shit.
So he was a piece of shit because he was abusive.
But he was emotionally abusive and threatening to, which one was it? Tippi Hedren, which is Melanie Griffith's mother, which is such a crazy thing. Yeah, so that was like and there's no way that's the only time that happened, but I think that's just the most notable. It's rare that it's just like, I'm one and done as an abuser.
this is going to sound not okay. I'm way more okay with that.
Only because in the world we live in, I said this to someone the other day. I said, oh, I mean, he didn't rape somebody. And I meant,
there you go.
And I meant
no,
that.
That's
sadly. So that's the world we live in now is rape is a litmus test, which is my new comedy
so
album.
So I'm not going to recommend the No Pants
comedy
Metro
album,
ride. I am going to recommend it's the last call for Imagining the Nutcracker at Arctic House.
You know what? I loved Christmas this year, which I thought was a direct result of everything terrible in 2017. I had never been so jazzed about Christmas. I was excited. I was like watching movies. I was like, Christmas music was on. I was choosing to do that.
Did you have a good Christmas period? Not season.
Yes.
What made it good?
My mom made a shit ton of cookies. She's on this like cooking jag.
I don't think that's how most people.
The TV show Jag?
Yeah.
And like,
do you remember when Bill Clinton was a guest star on JAG when he was still president?
I do not recall that, but I do recall that his brother had a small part in Fred Claus, which is a movie I enjoyed watching over Christmas, with that Vince Vaughn movie where he plays the brother too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was a great film.
There's got to be stuff about Vince Vaughn, right? Like, that's got to be...
No, you know what? I just looked him up the other day because I was like, where's Vince Vaughn?
Yeah.
He got married like 10 years ago to just like a real estate
agent. Yeah,
in
Chicago, I know.
And like, she's like a Canadian real estate agent. They have some kids. He's like a totally... He's just a guy.
That's nice.
It is nice.
It's nice to just be a guy.
Yeah.
Why aren't you just a guy?
I'm just a guy.
Okay, so I think this is a fine week of stuff. It's a really quiet weekend of stuff due to the weather and the first weekend of the new year. Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Other than the social media thing, which
I... Do you have it? Is that a resolution?
Yes.
Okay.
But also, as every year, it's drink more water, and every year I don't drink more water. So.
Why don't you?
Because I don't like the taste of water. And people are like, put something in it. And I'm like, I'm not going to do
that.
No, don't
do that.
I'm not doing anything
to
make it
better.
Do you like tea? Nope. I don't like anything that's good for me.
I think that's a great way to end it. Please play something from Marilyn Manson's Mechanical Animals, which is the best record. One of the reasons why him and Trent Reznor no longer got along at this point, besides huge drug problems, was Marilyn Manson was rumored to have asked David Bowie to produce this record. Which was debunked when Manson went on the WTF podcast and told a horrible story about meeting David Bowie for the first and only time at a concert, and Laura Flynn Boyle was there. And then Marilyn Manson made fun of the way Laura Flynn Boyle looked because he wanted more time alone with Marilyn Manson, not realizing Marilyn Manson is a fat, pudgy white man, so he should back off. So I think that's a good way to end the show. We'll be back next week. We're here every Thursday at noon. Follow us on brightestyoungthings.com. What are we listening to right now, Jack?
It's Manson.
What song?
That's a good question. I believe,
is it Come a White?
The Great Big White World.
Oh, yeah. Is this the...
Wow, it's called Great Big White World.
I think this is the... There was a video. This is like the fourth single from that record. This might be the one where they reenact the Kennedy assassination with Rose McGowan as Jackie Kennedy.
Oh, wow.
Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts, covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.